afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January the 29th, 29th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor, yes, she's back, Estelle Fennell. Good afternoon, lady.
Good afternoon, Brian. Glad to be back.
Yeah, that's a microphone. That's okay, good. Your notes. So after we'll do a little bit of catch up. Also, we'll find out what's been, since Estelle's back, what she's been doing to keep herself busy now that she's back. We'll find out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see if we can find one that's kind of... here we go. Nicholas Boileau. Okay. 1636 to 1711. Quote, "Sometimes a fool makes a good suggestion."
I love that one. Come all ye fools.
Yeah, no kidding. Sometimes more appropriate than other times, eh?
Yeah. Come on by. We'd love to hear your suggestions.
So how long were you gone?
Oh, well, I think I missed like three meetings, maybe even four. I was out at the end, second week of October, and then I came back in December. And
December's a light month anyway.
December's a light month, so I was able to go to a couple of meetings and, you know, still do some recuperating, but started off with, in the new year, you know, with a fairly full plate again.
Fired with the vim and vigor that you had 2 years ago?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What is it like catching up?
It was a little frustrating, actually, to just be cut off at the knees, basically, right when I was getting a few issues resolved. And so those have kind of been put on the back burner, and I'll be taking them up again now very, very shortly. One of those was the ad hoc water storage committee that Supervisor Bone and I are part of.
I guess it's
okay that we didn't get water storage done since there was no water to store.
Yeah, I heard that was the rolling water truck.
No, we are trying to get to a place where, you know, we can maybe incentivize instead of over-regulate water storage. So that's where we're going with that. And that was something that I was working on right at the moment when I fell ill. So maybe
by the end of this week, it'll be an issue again, and you'll have some water that you might be able to store.
Right, exactly. And to answer your question, yes, it is. It's frustrating when you're going along full steam, and then you just have to put the brakes on, no matter what. Then pick it back up. But it's also exhilarating, exciting to know that there are all sorts of things we can do, and I'm fully involved again. It's great.
I was wondering the contrast between starting up and not knowing anything,
mm-hmm.
and being dangerous, but not being able to engage.
Yeah.
Which one was more frustrating for you?
Oh, by far the second. I mean, I really wanted to, you know. And the fact of the matter is that the bottom line is that you can. You know, you're an A-type. You want to do things, but you just have to lay back. So that's being dangerous?
Yeah, well, getting to the point of knowing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, what you should be doing, what you want to be doing,
mm-hmm.
what you could be doing.
Yeah.
Yelling at appropriate people that have absolutely no influence in the outcome at all. Mm-hmm. You know, just all that kind of normal stuff
yeah.
that, that's there. The fact that you guys and gals now have got the tablets as the primary information conduit mm-hmm. instead of pounds of paper, did that help you kind of stay abreast of what was going on when you had moments of being able to and having interest in paying attention?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Because we download our agendas are downloaded and all the accompanying material downloaded onto our iPads, so I could study that. I did a lot of work from home once I got out of the hospital, so that was great, you know. Just couldn't go to all those meet and greets and see people, but now I'm back in the saddle.
So are you a people person, or yeah. would you prefer to be able to get stuff done without having as much of the interaction?
I'm a mixture. I'm kind of right there. You know, I very much enjoy meeting with people, talking with them, working with them. And I also very much enjoy getting things done. So, yeah, I'm not just a party animal. That's not my style.
I would have guessed that you would, if you had to eliminate one of the two mm-hmm. for efficiencies, I would have bet that you don't need to do quite as many rubber chickens.
Exactly.
And drive quite to as many places.
Exactly.
But let's get some stuff done around here, folks.
Exactly. Okay. Very much so.
So you may be less a people person than you think you are.
Well, you know.
Not to be negative on it.
No.
But it's a prioritization, and if you're always being interrupted, or not that people are interruptions, but it takes away from being able to do something for 10 people by sitting and discussing with one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. You just your social secretary's just got to get her job done better. That's all.
Well, it's good, you know. I mean, all of these the ways that you manage your day, there are a lot of people that you want to meet, and sometimes in some of these gatherings, like say for instance I went to the Buckeye Conservancy dinner on Saturday. That was wonderful. Got to meet and greet and talk with people about the issues.
And there was beef instead of chicken. KINS News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, some of the different challenges, even being gone for just 2 or 3 months, did you lose momentum? Or was that easy to pick up on some of the projects that you were alluding to in the opening segment, or some of the other activities that you were doing? Was it easy to kind of catch back up and slide right back in, or did you kind of have to jumpstart some things?
No, I think it was easy enough. I would like to give a shout out to Supervisor Bone from the 1st District. You know, we share a lot of territory. We're kind of actually very strangely aligned since the last redistricting. And so I've got to drive through his district. He's got to drive through mine to get to parts of ours. And he took up some of the loose ends that were laying out there, attended some of the events that I needed to attend, and staff was really great at bringing things to my attention. So overall, it was not that difficult at all to get back and get up and running. You know, it really wasn't that much time, as you pointed out. Actually, December is a very low energy month in those regards. Everybody's out shopping or tree trimming.
You've got your pet projects, whether you've got the end of the calendar year you're trying to end mm-hmm. them on, or you just want to be able to take that big black marker and scratch that sucker off the list.
Yeah, yeah.
And I presume you have lists too. Scratch that thing off
numerous
the list
lists.
And go, okay, mm-hmm. getting something
yes.
finalized.
Yeah.
Yeah. And move on. Not being able to do that would, I think, drive a lot of people batty.
Yes, yes. But we're gone beyond that now. We're back on track.
So what was the number one big thing you got a real charge out of being able to cross off your list?
Well, there were several of them, actually. In the Fortuna area, this happened earlier on, but things are moving forward. Construction is happening. Is the annexation there on the Riverwalk area. That's a wonderful thing. We got a lot of things done that had been kind of hanging loose. One of those is now getting Access Humboldt down to Southern Humboldt on Wave Cable. That's something that's not been formalized yet, but it's on a test level right now, so people can actually watch government work, whether or not they want to.
Quote, unquote, work, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Supervisors meetings, planning commission meetings, those kind of things.
So how's it been with Rex controlling the gavel?
I think he's doing a great job.
Okay.
I really do.
Okay.
You know, he's everybody's like going, "Oh, what's going to happen when Rex shows up?" But I think he's doing a great
job. That's par for the course.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that he's very good at giving people an opportunity to speak, but he also likes to move the meetings on. You know, so.
So as you look at the next little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's first quarter, the remainder of this fiscal year,
yeah.
What is out there that's got you excited? What's got you concerned?
Well, one of the things I was telling you earlier, Brian, is I just attended the meth awareness group the other day at the Redwood Acres, and that to me is a very big issue that we need to do as much as we can as a community to address. And I thought that was the meeting was great, a very, very good turnout, lots of answers in terms of dealing with meth in our community, how we get those answers and put them in motion is, of course, the big question. You know, the priorities are very often funding, but the answers are there. A lot of...
Is there not enough money right now to do the job, or is it prioritized in other areas?
Yes, prioritizing is very important. And you know, we hear this not just for drug issues, but also for mental health issues. You know, we've got to really look at both of these concerns that are really impacting our community. You know, and so some of the aspects of meth is, you know, for me. If every kid could see a picture of what they would look like if they started taking meth, they would stop. I mean, they would not even do it. I've seen those images of the before and after within a few months. I mean, I don't think any kid would.
It's stunning, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable the impact it has and what
happens
to people.
Is meth a kid drug, or is it just a drug?
It's a drug, but I think, you know, adults get on it, and it's very, very hard for them to kick. You want to get to the stage where when it comes in front of them, they say, no, I've seen what it does. They need to be taught right really, really early that this is not something you ever, ever want to try.
Now,
you know,
because
it's very addictive.
I didn't attend that event.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask probably a really stupid question.
Oh, there is no such thing.
Oh, I can lower the bar really easy. With meth, is it something that is readily used? I mean, you said put in front of somebody. Now, you could put $1 million worth of this garbage in front of me, and I would look at it and say, that's $1 million? And that would be my sole interest in it whatsoever.
Right.
Was there a component in here about personal responsibility?
Oh, yes.
And the family staying together.
Yes.
And some of those real basic, fundamental cultural things that often aren't spoken of because it's either not comfortable or not politically correct or and this stuff is allowed to bloom and continue to spread. And, you know, I mean, how do you get somebody out of the drug culture? Then I would think it'd be a whole lot easier for them to say no than if they're in the middle of the drug culture and you just say no.
Yeah.
Well, everybody around you is doing it. So how do we get people out of the drug culture and still keep them in Humboldt County?
And that's a difficult question. That is a very difficult question. But why do people turn to drugs is one of the questions that was asked. You know, what is the whole history of methamphetamine in Humboldt County? How did it get here? Why is it here? Who's supplying it? You know, why has it taken such a grip?
We'll answer those when we come back. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell, back in the saddle, as she said, in the 2nd District. That explains the cowboy boots, just because I can't wear them anymore.
Just be careful.
I did ask you if you knew anybody that had size 14
yes.
Leg boots, right? Okay.
Yeah, like that was a few months.
I still got them. Nobody has people with short feet. I can give these boots to. Estelle, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the meth meeting that mm-hmm. you attended, the public or community meeting that was at Redwood Acres a couple of nights ago. Getting people out of the drug culture.
Yes.
Now, I see that there's a couple real simple ways. Okay, if you legalize marijuana, okay, then it's not in the drug culture. It's just in part of the culture.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now we're talking about somatics. That's not really going to solve anything. And again, I tend to be pretty pedestrian, pretty simplistic, and I see that there is a linkage between the two drugs. Okay, fine. Shoot me, beat me up, I don't care. I mean, I just kind of see it. So if we're talking about pulling people out of the drug culture, out of those social circles, so that this drug isn't prevalent, isn't being used by everybody in the room except for you as you're trying to say no to it, mm-hmm. what other steps are there, what other measures are there that doesn't require government largesse or this process or this bureaucracy to help execute the plan?
Well, again, I would say, you know, get kids when they're young, even at elementary school, and just make that something that's very clear. I mean, one of the things that was...
As mom and dad aren't using.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. And I mean, and there is a very, very sad situation that happens quite regularly where young women are meth addicts and they become pregnant and now you've got kids that have that in their bloodstream or whatever. So it's just, you have to deal with that level, dealing with pre-tox, I think they're called. Then you've got kids in school that are coming out of families that are involved in this, and how do you deal with them? And, you know, I'll just tell you something. I used to smoke cigarettes, and I know that there's plenty of people listening who smoke them now, and I'm not going to judge you or anything at all like that. But what I will say is that what made it very easy for me to quit was to see a picture of what my lungs would look like if I kept on smoking. It looked crispy, ugly. And so the visual is what got me. And that's why I think for kids to see the horrible effects of this, that the first time somebody comes up to them with this drug and offers it to them, they go, no, I saw what that is. I think that's really a very easy first step.
Or and having I'd enough personal confidence just to say, no, not interested.
Yeah, and give them that. Exactly. Just because I am informed and I know what that's going to do. You know, so
if,
education.
If that approach is the one of the recommended ones,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't take a ton of money.
No.
That doesn't take a bureaucracy. That doesn't take a whole lot of...
That's why it appealed to me.
So So something that simple, why isn't it being done now?
That's a very good question. And that's what I say, the answers are there. We've got to get them out there in the front and prioritize them. I really
like say no to drugs is belittled by a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
President Reagan and da-da-da, mm-hmm. we lost the
Nancy.
Battle of drugs. Yeah, well, there are a lot of other battles we've lost also, like poverty.
Yeah.
and some others that are far more.
Yeah.
So something as simple as that, because it's not PC,
mm-hmm.
gets shot down and giggled about.
Yep.
And yet, that's what we're talking about. It can be as simple as just saying no.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, we've got to go beyond that at this stage because of the fact that it has kind of floundered, if you will. It may be an addendum to a program that, first of all, says this is why you should say no. You need to make an informed decision, no matter how old you are. And then the other things that they were looking at this, I mean, that wasn't just the only thing, was drug treatment, and if there are enough facilities for that.
Well, there's not enough now for the folks that want to get off of alcohol mm-hmm. and other addictive,
yeah.
let alone add a whole nother tier on top of that.
Yeah.
Again, is that a budget priority from the county? Or is it a budget priority that's high enough by those that have that opportunity
mm-hmm.
to make it a priority and to shift monies out of one area that are maybe the general fund into an area like that?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, and speaking of priorities, one of the things we'll be talking about that as we go forward in this first quarter going into the second half of the fiscal year is what does the future of Humboldt County's budget look like? You know, and it's not that great.
Well, the governor says everything's rosy.
Yeah, well, that's the state. We're talking about Humboldt County now. And, you know, last year we gave a 2% raise to all of the employees, and that's definitely kind of put a dent in the budget in terms of what we can do in the future. So
raising fixed costs always does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think the state proved that one a long time ago.
Yeah, and then now we also have higher than projected increases in retirement and insurance costs. So that's something that affects our budget as well. So
I thought it was supposed to be more affordable.
Who would have known? Yeah, there's lots of surprises.
Not this simple mind, obviously.
I attended in going back to the math meeting. I attended a breakout session on legislation. There's not much you can do, but one of the issues that was brought up is that we need to readdress realignment. You know, AB 109, and the effect it has had, and now that's where the state budget can come into play. If we are doing well. Why ask the counties to hang on by a fingernail? The state's kind of got to cough up some money to make it easier for us to deal with the problems that have been handed back to us.
KINS News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there that are, I guess we would say, problematic,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's this priority or that priority. How do you drive whatever the priority is down through the system, through the county governmental structure, and have it embraced? Or can you?
Well, I'm an optimist. You know, I believe that if you make a clear enough case and you really understand the need to prioritize that hopefully you can work with your colleagues and make something happen. We're going to be faced with lots of challenges. We've got a year that's pretty dry, even though we have the rain finally. So questions of drought. I've at the Buckeye the other night, I was talking with several ranchers who are, you know, weighing whether or not they've got to sell their cattle because they can't feed them. And at the same time, you look back over the last several years and they've been doing really, really well because there's a great demand. So that's a business where you do see cyclical issues. And the ranchers and the farmers I spoke with were pretty pragmatic about it, you know, saying, okay, well, we got to tighten our belts for now, but things will be better again. And they're in a good business, you know. Everybody needs to eat. And so if you pick a business, that's a good one to be in. In fact, that's what the honoree John Rice said, you know. Agriculture is what then, you know, what allowed people to go move forward into industry. Before agriculture, we were all going out.
And indoor
out.
Plumbing also.
Oh, yeah, indoor plumbing really helped. but before that, we were all just every day, spending every day trying to find something to eat.
So as you look at some of the different challenging elements that are out there, the realignment certainly is a major player. Whether or not that would keep some of the screws locked down or not, tough to tell.
It is.
Tough to tell. But as the state says that they're doing fine, is there any thought, is there any glimmer of hope that the counties will have any influence going back up the channel and say, okay, guys, you say everything's great and rosy there, but remember all these programs you've passed on, these mandated programs that you're not accepting any fiduciary responsibility on that everybody agrees you should? Time to man up. I mean, is there any thoughts along those lines?
Oh, yes.
Even if it was just giving a couple of million to each county and saying, here, this it was going to make you whole, but it may help to offset some of these bad guys coming into your town.
Well, I think there are enough counties now who have really seen the effects, and the documentation is there. The reality is there. So I do think there's a pushback. And we are now also a member of the Rural Counties Coalition, which I think is wonderful. Rex Bone is the member. I'm the alternate. I think it's really, really great to have that group of people working and lobbying. And then we're obviously with CSAC, and we've got our county representatives. And I think the governor has to understand that there will be a pushback. There's a pushback on the Twin Tunnels project. There's a pushback on the high-speed rail. You know, people who are on the ground and are being affected by these decisions that are made in Sacramento where they don't understand the end result are pushing back. So, yeah.
It is an election year, so maybe.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Exactly. You know, maybe somebody will
enterprising reporter will ask him a question that might make him a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
at least need to reflect
well, it's
a
the
bit.
Legislators, too. They really, really need to.
Who?
You know, the guys in the suits?
Yeah, yeah. Well, next time Sonoma County or Marin County want to listen to us, huh? Okay, I'll climb down off the horse. Your saddle isn't big enough for the two of us. Thanks for coming by. Great to see you again.
Great to be here.
And, you know, now you're on the frequent flyer program.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine.
We'll be seeing you. We'll talk about all those things we didn't talk about today.
There you go. Step at a time. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.